Thank you for listening to this message from Northwest Hills Community Church in Corvallis, Oregon. You can learn more about our church at nwhills.com. Today, youth intern Cody Wagner is continuing a series on 1 John. What does genuine faith look like? John shares a way for us to test our faith. Do we give up on sinning and practice righteousness? If so, then we know we abide in Christ. Now, that might feel a little too general, so Cody breaks down what each means in practical terms and addresses those who struggle to feel assured in their faith. After the message, you're invited to answer some application questions, which you can find on our website right next to the worship service video. Now, here's today's message.
My name is Cody Wagner. I am a youth ministry intern here at Northwest Hills. Yeah, I love it. It's a great position. Tons of fun. I've been here for almost 2 years now. And before we jump into the word, I get the opportunity to preach this morning because Josh is off in California at a wedding for family. But before I get into the word and get into what we're talking about today, I wanted to share some news, bittersweet, and then thank you guys. So first, the exciting part, news. Since I graduated high school, for about 4 years now, I've been pursuing full-time ministry as a career. I've been chasing after it, internships, going to school, the whole nine yards. And I started seriously looking for positions a few months ago, around February. And I'm super excited to announce I accepted a position last month. I am officially going to be an associate pastor and youth pastor at City Park Church in Casper, Wyoming. Thank you. Yeah. But now for the bitter part. That means that I have to leave Northwest Hills. And I'm super, super sad. It's been my family for the past couple years. But before I leave, I wanted to take this opportunity and thank you guys. For those of you who have poured into my life, thank you, thank you, thank you. For those of you who are sitting there thinking, I haven't poured into this guy's life, that's wrong. Just by being part of this church and like supporting this internship, like, my life, the trajectory of my life has changed, and I'll speak more to that on June 12th. I'll be back up here for intern send-off, but I wanted to thank you guys so much. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for being faithful members. Thank you for coming to this church, contributing to this church. It changes lives. I'm sure if we were to have a Sunday where we just got people up here who talked about how Northwest Hills has changed their lives, we could go on forever. But thankfully, I get the opportunity to be up here, and thank you. Man, I made it. I put don't cry in my notes, and got it. But so let's get into the part that we're all here for, the part that we're all excited for. I want to invite Brendan Fulcher up on his stage. He's one of our students here. I am so glad I've gotten the opportunity to get to know him a lot better over the past couple years, and he's going to be reading our scripture for us today.
Alrighty. Oh.
Is it on? Yep.
Okay. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 2, 28 through 3:10. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall not see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness as he is righteous. Whoever takes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and we cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Brendan, so much. So we're in week 7 of our 14-week series on 1 John. We made it halfway through. We're at the halfway point. And last week, we talked about this idea of like fake faith, scam faith, right? These people who John warns about, as well as Jesus warns about, who look like they have genuine faith, but don't. The way John puts it is they have come from us, but are not of us. And so we looked at this fake faith, and this week we're going to be looking at the other side of the same coin. What does real faith look like? And it can be kind of scary whenever you read about this fake faith, but John gives us hope. He says, hey, there is this fake faith, but don't worry. There's a way for us to test our faith. It makes me think about, as I was searching for a job, as I was looking at churches, at the beginning, I kind of threw, if I'm being honest, some Hail Marys. I mean, I was talking to like 3,000-person churches. You know, I look at the requirement list, and they're like, please have 5 to 7 years experience. Please have a bachelor's preferred, like at least master's preferred. They're like, give us 3 different leaders that you've trained up so that we can talk to them and see that you're a trainer of leaders. And I was just throwing out Hail Marys. I was like, hey, what the heck? Like, what are they going to say? No, like, I don't work there already. Can't fire me. So, but as I continued to look, I got to more realistic ones. Ones that I'm like, okay, I'm actually qualified for this. And I began to get interviews. And as I was interviewing, this little lie popped up in the back of my head that said, hey, you're not actually really that qualified. I began to say, like, who am I? I'm just some 22-year-old kid. Sure, I've had a couple internships. But I'm like in my first year of Bible college. Haven't even finished the first year. Like, I'm not qualified to be here. I'm not qualified to be applying here, to be talking to this person saying, you should give me this job. I began to feel like a fraud and a fake. And I think that we tend to do that in faith as well. We can look at like these heroes of faith, whether it be we're looking in like the Bible and seeing these awesome heroes of faith, you know, Moses knew that God was going to provide, so he like lifted up his staff and they were winning the fight. Like he had faith. Or maybe it's somebody like in our personal life and we look at them and we're like, man, they have such great faith. Someday, maybe I'll get there. And then we start to compare and contrast. And then all of a sudden, something goes wrong in our lives and we say, wait a minute, they wouldn't have reacted like that. Their faith wouldn't have let them do that. They wouldn't have thought like that. They wouldn't have said that. They wouldn't have done that. And then all of a sudden, we feel like we have this fake faith. We begin to question our faith and say, is my faith even genuine? If I can do that, if I can speak like that, if I can think like that, is my faith genuine? Well, John addresses that. You see, whenever we do that, we tend to like shrink away from God and pull back and not feel confident coming to God. But John wants to address that. In verse 28 of chapter 2, he says this. He says, I write these things, or he says this. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. John recognizes that we can pull away and feel like we have a fake faith and shrink away. But he doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to have full confidence in our faith. And he says, you can have that. He follows it up in verse 29, and he gives us his thesis on how we can have full confidence that we have faith. He says, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. That's his thesis. He's saying, don't shrink away from God. Don't lose your confidence. You can test your faith. Because those who know that Christ is righteous will be righteous. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Over the next 10 verses in chapter 3, he goes over just explaining this concept. And thankfully he does. Because if he just left it at, if you're righteous, you know that he's righteous, there would be some days that I would really question my faith. I'd be like, man, I don't feel righteous today. That's a problem. But he continues on and he gives us assurance. And so, if you would, bear with me this morning. We're going to walk through these next 10 verses piece by piece and just look at how can we test our faith? How can we know that we have genuine faith? Now, a little bit of a disclaimer, a little seatbelt to guide us, right? So that we don't get off course. There are like two paths that you can take logically going through this that I don't think God is trying to communicate. Number one is the path of we leave these doors and we're dejected because we are not wholly righteous. We have sin in us and we think there's no way that I can have faith because I have sin in me. That's not what God's trying to communicate. We don't have to be perfect in order to know that we have genuine faith. Another path that God is not trying to communicate is we leave these doors and we think, I'm covered. It doesn't matter what I do. And we leave these doors not seeking to kill all unrighteousness in us and not seeking to destroy all the sin in our heart. And so I think that those are two paths that it's really easy to take and read this passage and think one of those two ways, but I don't think that that's what God's trying to communicate in this. I think that there's a path down the middle, and if you follow with me, hopefully we'll land on that path and we'll leave here testing our faith, knowing that we have a genuine faith and having confidence that no matter what, we can come to Christ. And we can know that we have been made righteous. So, starting chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called his children. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Pause. Before we ever talk about laws and rules and being righteous and following God's way, we have to talk about this. We have to talk about the love that God has freely poured out on us. I think John is a genius for starting this way, right? He says, if you know Christ, you'll be righteous. But before that, focus on God. Oh, how great the love that he's poured out on us. That you and I get the opportunity to be called his children. Before we ever focus on God's laws, before we ever focus on God's rules and regulations, guidelines for living, before we ever focus on anything like that, first we have to focus on God and how great it is that he's freely poured out this opportunity upon us. Another thing I want to address before we continue with this idea of being God's children is I don't want our earthly fathers to block our view of our heavenly father. Whether we've had a good father or not on this earth, it doesn't change who our heavenly father is. You see, whether our father gave us the love that we think we deserve, our heavenly father has given us more than we could ever earn. even if our earthly fathers weren't there for us when we needed them the most, our heavenly Father has been there the whole time. If our fathers on earth didn't chase us and pursue us like we wanted them to, if they didn't value us like we wanted them to, our heavenly Father has chased us when we run, when we mock him, when we betray him, when we turn away. He has continually pursued us. And so before we continue with this idea of how great it is that we can be called God's children, I want us to remove our earthly fathers from the equation and not look at our heavenly Father through a lens of our earthly father, but to see the fullness of God himself has said that we are his children. And what a great blessing that is. Going back into 1 John, in verse 2 of chapter 3, he says this, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is." What a great encouragement this is. Like I was saying, we can often feel like fakes, like we're just pretending to have faith. But this is something we need to preach to ourselves. If you have your Bible and you're willing to underline that, highlight that, circle it, star it, put something big next to it, come back to this and preach this to yourself because we need to. Constantly, we need to say, I am a child of God. I might not look like it. I might not feel like it. I might not seem like it right now, but I'm gonna. You see, John says, whenever Christ reappears, he will make us like him. That means that there's a progression. We got to progress and continually progress and progress and be more and more like God's children. And we won't be perfect until that day when we see him again. And so daily we have to preach this to ourselves, continually. I love the way one of my favorite Bible scholars puts it, Charles Spurgeon. He says this about this verse. He says, "Now, beloved, we are children of God." That's easy to read, but it's not easy to feel. Now we are children of God. How is it with your heart this morning? Are you in the lowest depths of sorrow and suffering? Well, now you are a child of God. Does corruption rise within your spirit and grace seem like a poor spark trampled underfoot? Beloved, now you are a child of God. Does your faith almost fail you? Are your graces like a candle well nigh blown out by the wind? Fear not. Beloved, it is not your graces, it is not your frames, it is not your feelings on which you are to live. You must live simply on naked faith in Christ. Beloved, now we are children of God. With all things against us, with the foot of the devil on our neck and sword in his hand ready to slay us. Beloved, now in the very depths of sorrow, wherever we may be, now as much in the valleys as on the mountains, as much in the dungeons as in the palaces, as much as being broken on the wheel of suffering as on the wings of triumph, now we are the children of God. Amen. Where are we today? No matter where you are, no matter where your heart is, no matter what's going on in life, now you are a child of God. It doesn't change. Life changes. But us being children of God does not change. It never does. Christ isn't done with us. Even if we don't feel like a child of God, even if we don't seem like we look like a child of God, even if we're so far down in suffering that we can't even see God, he's not done. This is one of my favorite things about youth ministry. I'm so blessed that I have been able to follow the same group of guys. Last year, it was eighth grade guys. This year, it's ninth grade guys. And one of my favorite things about youth ministry is that it's a time in life where there's so much change. Things are accelerating fast. I mean, fast. You can have a student be one way this week, and then next week, it's like they matured like crazy amounts, and it's like, what the heck? It's only been a week. How do you do this? And so it's awesome whenever we get to inject faith into that, and we get to see faith work its process really fast. And we get to, in just a couple years, see this transformation of students go from kids who've been dragged to church their whole life, don't really care, and then you get to inject faith and excitement about faith, and it's awesome to see students come and just mature in that. And I think it slows down a little bit as we get older. I mean, as we become, we get set in our life and we get set in who we are. And as we mature, things just take a little bit longer. But in youth ministry, we get to see it accelerate. And it's such a great reminder to me that God is always working, continually. And whenever I see it in my students' lives, I begin to recognize it in my life. And whenever I recognize it in my life, it's so much easier to say, God, you're right. I'm not where I should be, but I know that you're working in me and you're getting me to where you want me to be. And so, I think that this is an amazing verse. Before we ever test our faith, let's focus on the fact that God has already freely poured out this offering. And that once we have it, we have it. And Christ is continually perfecting us. Getting back into John, now he's going to focus a little bit more on us and how we can test our faith. In verse 3, starting there, it says, "And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sin, and in him there is no sin." This is the gospel. This is why the gospel is important. Christ has come to take away the sins, to take it away, to pull it from us. And John is saying, he who knows this, if you know this, then you're going to purify yourself. One of the things that at first I was like, man, am I supposed to be pure? Like constantly? Is that how I know I'm a child of God? But then I got to thinking about it. And in order to purify yourself, you have to be impure. And so it's not John telling us, hey, you're going to be pure if you know God. It's John telling us, if you know Christ, he's come to take away sins, so you're going to give it to him. We're going to constantly purify ourselves and go back and give away the sin that we have. Even those sins that feel like they won't go. That sin that this week you say you'll never do again, and next week you find yourself doing it again. That's no evidence that your faith is disingenuous. But rather, genuine faith, instead of not doing it again, will give it up. Genuine faith will say, God, I can't take this anymore. Here it is. Purify me. Make me like you. Genuine faith gives up what is impure in our lives. Going back into it, starting in verse 6, he continues on with this thought. He says, no one who abides in him, in Christ, keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. This is the verse that scared me. Because whenever you read it initially, it's really hard to see. Right? He says, if somebody is sinning, they've never known God or seen God. And it's easy for us to pick that up and say, oh man, so every time that I sin, it confirms that I've never seen God and I've never known him. And then it says, he who is righteous like God. And so we look at this and we can say, oh man, do I have to be perfectly righteous? By no means. All the time, throughout the Bible, from page one to page end, constantly, the Bible is calling people sinners and righteous. And when the Bible calls somebody a sinner, does that mean that there is no good in them? By no means. And when it calls them righteous, does it mean that they're wholly righteous? No, it does not. I mean, think of David. Calls him a man after God's own heart, calls him righteous time and again. And you read his story and you begin to see, oh man, he's done some pretty awful stuff. And sometimes he doesn't act righteous. He doesn't act like somebody who's after God's own heart. And so we have to look at whenever the Bible calls somebody righteous or a sinner, it's speaking of their character. And so he who is sinning has not seen God. Who is that? That's somebody, that's the person whose life is controlled by sin. John is saying, if sin is what characterizes your character, then I don't think that person's seen God. They've never seen him or known him. But if that person is chasing after what is right, if that person is chasing after God's righteousness, after his righteousness, even if they sin, even if they have plenty to confess, even if they have plenty to purify and plenty to give up, but that person is chasing after righteousness, and it's the kind of person that you can look at and say, that person is not controlled by sin. That's how we know that our faith is genuine. That's how we know that he has covered us. I love verse 7. It says this, and it's really small, but it's so encouraging. It says, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Because Christ is righteous, then I can be righteous. And so John is making it clear it's not our righteous acts that make us righteous. Doing what is right has no part in justification. It has no part in taking away our sins. Our sins are taken away because Christ has conquered them. But because Christ is righteous, then he offers that to us. And because Christ has covered us with his righteousness, then his righteousness pours out of us. And so doing what is right is not what purifies us. That's us giving up our sins to Christ. That's what purifies us. But these righteous acts are what are going to be produced by us giving up what is wrong. By us giving up our sins and taking on Christ's righteousness, it will produce righteous acts. And that's how we know that our faith is genuine. Whenever Christ's righteousness does its work in us and it produces righteous acts. Finishing it up in 9 and 10, John kind of summarizes it, wraps it up in a bow, makes it look really nice. Starting in verse 9, he says this, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Right? So he kind of like wraps this up, and he has this weird phrase, right? That God has planted his seed in us. What does that mean? That's the Holy Spirit. God's given us his Spirit. He's planted this seed. Once we accept that free gift of righteousness, that free gift of salvation, God plants a seed in us and it begins to flourish. And John says, once you have that seed in you, once you have the Spirit in you, you won't make a practice of sinning. Because his Spirit will convict you. It'll convict the sin. We might have times whenever we have... Duncan, can you get that? That's my phone. Shouts out to that. I swear I turned it off, but my phone has a mind of its own. That's crazy. So, right, Christ plants the seed. We get the Spirit, and then we'll stop making a practice of sinning. And he says that this makes it evident for us to see. We can look at people and see, is this person righteous? Do they have righteousness overflowing? Do I have righteousness overflowing? Do I seek to do what is right? That's what John is saying is the test of genuine faith. Do we seek to do what is right? Even when sin is deeply buried in us, even when our hearts want to rebel against God, even when we can't overcome that one thing, do we seek to do what is right? So let's plug this all back together, put this puzzle back together in full, and see the full picture of what John is saying. God, in his grace, has poured out his great love on us so that we can be called children of God. Even though we aren't perfect yet, he will accomplish this when we see him again. We can be confident in this because Christ has already come and conquered sin and death. So we know he's going to finish it because he already started it. Because of what Christ has already done, we don't need to live as sinners controlled by sin, but we can be righteous because he is righteous and he offers it to us. And we can tell if we have accepted this righteousness because it will produce righteous acts. It will produce righteousness within us. So coming back to what John said in the very beginning in verse 28. Christ is coming back. I'm not going to stand up here and pretend like I know when that's happening. I'm not even going to say confidently that it's within our lifetime. I don't know, but it could be. And so are we going to stand with confidence in the fact that Christ is coming back, or are we going to shrink away? If we test our faith and we know that we have genuine faith, we can come to Christ with confidence, knowing that we have salvation, knowing that we are being made righteous. So if you would bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm going to invite the band up. And as they come up, I would like us to reflect. I would ask that you join me in reflecting on our faith. Do we seek righteousness? Do we seek to do what is right? Even when sin crawls its way back, even when we feel like we can't kill it, do we seek to purify ourselves and to do what is right? So join me as we test the genuineness of our faith. Reflect and think on your faith. Do you seek what is right? God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can stand confidently before you, that we can come to you with confidence that we are saved. God, and we thank you that you didn't leave us to guess this, but you gave us a path to follow so that we can see if our faith is genuine. Father, we are so thankful for that, that you have poured out your love so that we could be called your children. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's teaching from Northwest Hills Community Church. We hope you find ways to apply the gospel to your life. And be sure to check out our website, nwhills.com, where you'll find ways to engage, including resources like our application questions. Thanks again for listening.